the FL 72 on Radio Yorkshire.
Hello and welcome along to the FL 72 for another week. Sam Bridges and the editor of the72.co.uk, Tom Carnduff, with you for the next hour. Lots to come on the show despite the international break. Yes, it's finally over. We'll be talking all things Yorkshire news, Bradford City, Sheffield United and Donny Rovers still in action at the weekend. We'll also talk about the latest news from Leeds, Huddersfield, Barnsley and Rotherham as well. We'll talk the rest of the Football League news as well, including down in League Two with Morecambe, also Newcastle Derby. And we'll also have good days, bad days as well, and look ahead to tonight's action. Sheffield United in action at Bramall Lane, looking to extend their lead at the top of League One. FC Wimbledon also in action against Rochdale as they look to put themselves back into the League One playoff picture. We'll have it all and more on the FL 72. Welcome along, Sam and Tom with you for the next hour. Proper boxing then comes at 7. Tom McGuire with the evening show from 8 o'clock. Tom, good evening to you.
Good evening.
How are you doing, all right?
I'm good, how are you?
Good, good.
Good.
Yeah, all right, yeah, feeling quite good. Got nothing bad to say about you this week, which is a good
nice
start.
Change.
Yeah.
It's a nice change, start, nice yeah. Way to start the show.
In a good mood. The international break finally. Have you enjoyed this one for England, Germany and Lithuania?
I enjoyed probably Germany. I know the result didn't go our way, but it was a good game. I enjoyed it more than the Lithuania game, which was just boring. I know England won, and that's the main thing, but it just wasn't a good game of football. Not at all.
What do you make of the rising star in the England ranks, old Michael Keane?
I knew he'd get a mention. He was all right. He was all right, wasn't he? I don't know, I can't really pick anyone out on that the Sunday game especially that just kind of, yeah, we were all right. I think the Germany game was kind of stolen a bit by Dele Alli. Thought he was fantastic, but yeah, I'm just glad it's over. I think now I do enjoy the England team, I do enjoy international football, but when you're playing Lithuania at Wembley, It's always going to be a boring game, but at least we won.
Yeah. What about Gareth Southgate? You feel a bit more positive about him now because you were damning when he got the job.
Yeah, I don't know. It's, in fairness, the group England are in, they should qualify anyway. Pretty sure we could have Dave Hockaday as manager and we'd probably at least get second. But it's the same with England all the time. We're really good in the qualifiers. We get to the major tournaments and that's where we mess it up. So it's hard to judge until we get to that kind of 2018 World Cup scenario to see if anything's changed.
Indeed, good win for England against Lithuania. At the weekend, Bradford are also in action on Sunday. A defeat to Scunthorpe, frustrating.
Frustrating, yeah. It was a good performance from Bradford, actually. I think Stuart McCall kind of says it, I think, after the game a bit as well, that, the second half especially, that they've attacked, they've done all they can, they just couldn't find the net. So it'd be obviously disappointing with the result, but you look at the general performance and it wasn't that bad. Any other day you put that performance in, you're probably going to win. Of course, 3 points weren't there, but there's still plenty of positives to take from it. I thought they, as a team, they were good. And again, that bit of Scunthorpe defending at the end where the defender's lying on the floor and manages to stick his leg out and tip it over. It's just little things like that where they're hitting the bar as well. They're hitting the keeper's shoulder. They're just doing everything where any other day, those are things that go in and their goals. So yeah, disappointing, probably frustrating, but wouldn't be too downhearted if you're a Bradford fan after the performance.
And outside the playoffs as well, Millwall getting beat at the weekend, but it kind of shows what potentially could happen. A couple of bad results in this League One playoff mix, and you suddenly start to drop places. It's so tight.
It's been pretty, like you said, it's been tight for a number of weeks now, and like kind of the Championship where maybe you've got one or two teams that are there or thereabouts, you've got down to what, even Peterborough, I know it's a bit of a long shout, but they're only 8 points off and they sit in 11th. So it's not impossible to do it. It's tight, especially with the Southend, Millwall. I think Rochdale as well, they play tonight, so you can kind of throw them into that when they're making up the games in hand. That, yeah, it's close and we said before about Bradford kind of drawing a lot of their games, which was frustrating. That caught up with them a bit. Thankfully, for them, they've started to get the wins. So it is close, but it's just a lottery. As long as you're in that four playoff places, you've got just as much of a chance to succeed as anyone else. So they're in a good position, especially looking ahead to a game against Walsall at the weekend, which at Valley Parade you'd expect them to win.
Yeah, fingers crossed. We can actually hear from Stuart McCall following the defeat at the weekend. Here he is speaking to our man, Derek Clark.
We were sort of pre-match trying to work out this formation. I mean, it seemed to have a lot of attacking players out there today.
Yeah.
Was it almost as much as because of the resources available? A little bit.
No, without going into too much detail for everyone else, we have a way that we wanted to play, and if they were going to set up a different way, we would change it. And we did, and, you know, it's a second half. How we've not won the game is hard to take. But, yeah, we've got experienced players who can fit into a lot of formations. We work hard on it during the week, you know, what we might think might be a threat for them and how we might get on top of their system, whatever, and be ready. I think modern day you've got to be adaptable and flexible, not only as a coach and as a manager, but as players. And they were that today. And, you know, any little bit of luck, we would have been going away with 3 points.
Alex Jones had a tremendous game again today, didn't he?
Yeah.
Real threat up there.
He was. We kind of had a threat. I mean, the second half, Marsh had put some great balls in. Obviously, a couple of times he never gets his shot away, but he put some good balls in. Charlie's had an effort. Billy Clark, you know, head down to him. Just so many opportunities that we've... but, you know, there's no... It's disappointment because we've not got anything from the game. But when you put in a strong performance like that, I think you all have to look at the support after the game, the way they sort of applauded the players off. They realised the players would give everything. And sometimes in football, you don't get what you deserve. We had opportunities which we could do better finishing. I mean, the goalie's on the floor, Meza blazes it over the bar. But there was a couple of things that were just unfortunate when you look back at them. And that's football.
Two goals that you lost earlier each half, was that a concentration issue?
I don't know. It was sloppy and careless, that's for sure. I need to see the second goal again, but I don't know. We lost two from set players and one, as I say, I haven't been able to see it again, so it'd be hard to comment at this moment in time, but certainly it was sloppy and careless, yeah.
The FL 72 on Radio Yorkshire.
There we go, Stuart McCall speaking after Bradford's defeat on Sunday to Scunthorpe, who getting themselves back in the mix following a real poor run of results. Lost four in a row, didn't win for a number of games, Graham Alexander's side, but now a couple of wins in their last three games, beating Rochdale as well. Maybe do you think they could be back in the squeak of automatic, or how are you assessing it now?
Yeah, it's difficult, I think, because of just Bolton and Sheffield United. I know there's only 6 points between them and Fleetwood, but it is getting to that stage now where they're starting to break off a bit going into the last few games. It's going to cost them that run of bad games for Scunthorpe, because they were in with a top two shout. You know, earlier in the season they were top. It looked like it was going to be kind of between them, Sheffield United, maybe even Bolton, to win the league. So, yeah, it's cost them. But for a club like Bradford, it's worked perfectly because it's allowed them to get back into it a bit when, you know, they did have the spell of draws where they just, every game, it seemed to be, they were just picking up a point. But it's allowed them to capitalise a bit. And yeah, I think they've got Millwall next, Scunthorpe. So that's going to be a difficult game for them. Of course, Millwall just outside the playoffs, so... Whether they'll want the result a bit more, whether the result will matter a bit more to them, I don't know. So, yeah, it's hard. It's hard to say whether they'll kind of get back in. I just think the gap's a bit too much now with the way Bolton and Sheffield United are going.
Bolton on a terrific run of form, winning their last five games now. And even just a couple of weeks ago, was in pretty much from wherever you wanted to go from in the table, about eighth or ninth, they're all vying for second place. Bolton's forms... really opened it up again. But do you think they're going to pull away? They've been inconsistent all season. Do you think it's finally come to for Phil Parkinson's side? Or do you think there might be still a slip-up in there for them?
I think it's a great time for them to start hitting a bit of form. Obviously, we've got, six, seven games left. So if they're going to do it, now's the perfect time to do it. And I think that result against Shrewsbury... It's a bit of an underrated result, really. I know Shrewsbury are down there, but they're a relegation, or they're at that end of the table where they're trying to steer clear of relegation, only a point above it. But their home form has been exceptional in the past few weeks. I know they drew with Coventry, but before that they went on a 5-6 game winning streak at home. So for Bolton to go and get the win, I think we said it last week or the week before about, I think it's probably harder to play teams that are fighting for their lives and fighting for survival than it is for the teams going for promotion, because there's not as much pressure there. There's not the expectation to win. So, yeah, they've really hit the form at the right time. And, you know, you never know. Sheffield United have got a couple of draws in the past few weeks, whether they can capitalise and win the league.
Yeah, that was my next question. Yeah. Do you think they can? Do you think Bolton could win the league?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, they're only 4 points off, aren't they? Then they're just winning every week. It's silly, but
face Chesterfield next to a
very winnable game.
Straits, yeah,
very winnable game. And then obviously for Sheffield United, you're looking there in their next game against Millwall, obviously tonight. So that could be a potential banana skin there. With, like I said, just before the, of course, because they play Scunthorpe at the weekend, that they're going to be looking to try and get into the playoffs. So yeah, it could be a slip up and. You trust Bolton to just capitalise on those slip-ups. I think the week before, was it the game on TV where they played Oxford away, where at one point it did look like they maybe were just going to get a point instead of the three, but they showed why they are a team up there, and they've been really impressive, really impressive.
Doing very well, Bolton. For Sheffield United, then obviously in action tonight, a tricky game. Millwall, the attack score a lot of goals. Well, I wouldn't really call it a rocky patch, but disappointing last time out to get beat by Swindon.
It was, yeah. It was one of those really where, again, on paper, it could have been a win for him, or it should have been a win. You're looking at a Swindon team who are down there despite the Tim Sherwood bringing him in. Yeah.
Four defeats in a row prior to that.
And I know, and it's just, it's difficult to say. But then, again, I don't know, Sheffield United is a weird one. You'd fancy them to beat pretty much most teams at Bramall Lane. I think their problems in recent seasons is that teams have gone to Bramall Lane and just been happy to sit back and defend and try to take a point. And I don't think Millwall will do that, because we spoke about the attacking quality they have. I don't think they're going to be a team that are going to want to sit back regardless of where they are. So, yeah, it could be a bit of a banana skin, could be a bit of a problem for them. So it should be one to watch of interest.
It's interesting, as well, as we were saying about Sheffield United, and for many weeks now, it's been, they're going to go on and win the league quite comfortably. All of a sudden, Bolton hit this great run of form. Now they're right in the mix. And it's the same story in League Two for one of our Yorkshire clubs, Donny Rovers. They hit the top right at the end of January and have been there ever since, even though they've drawn a few, they've lost, had a couple of slip-ups as well. And then all of a sudden, it was the same story. They're going to go on and win the league comfortably. A defeat to Plymouth in second place the weekend. The gap now only 3 points.
It's close, isn't it? It's close. It was quite a close game on Sunday, as the scoreline suggests, but I thought Plymouth in the second half played very well. Again, we've said it before, it'll be disappointing, really, for Doncaster to not win the league. I know the aim is going to be promotion, and they will achieve promotion. They're 16 points clear with only 7 games to go, so they are going to get promoted, but it's still something to have. I know Doncaster, maybe as a club, shouldn't be in League Two, but they're there. We're in a commanding position for so long. It's still a trophy. It's still a title to have, and it'll probably fill you a bit more confidence going back into League One. So, yeah, again, like Sheffield United, like you said, it could be a case where one of them, maybe both of the Yorkshire sides, aren't going to win the divisions despite looking comfortable at one point.
Fingers crossed both sides can hold on. Aaron McCaw's been in touch on Facebook, where we are live this evening. Good to see the Yorkshire team's going well. Hopefully Bradford can get back up to the Championship after the times they've had. Yeah, fingers crossed. Aaron, we are live, of course, on Facebook tonight, where we're moving on to our next topic now in our news agenda. But I want to know, who is your team's most important player for the rest of the season? Tom had a bit of a whinge last week about the team of the year being announced so early and that things could change. So that's what I want to know. Which player in particular do you think is going to be vital in your side's running for Leeds? So you would imagine it's still going to be Chris Wood, up for EFL Championship Player of the season, and quite rightly as well. Who else is nominated with him?
It's Dwight Gayle at Newcastle and Anthony Knockhart at Brighton. So tough competition, really, but no surprise that the Wood's up there.
Obviously the amount of goals he scored this season has been fantastic. Dwight Gayle as well. Away on international duty, reports of a bit of a knock, I think, coming back for Chris Wood. A bit of concern there for Leeds and Gary Monk.
I think there was concern initially when I first read about it, the news broke a bit. It was, oh my God, this is the worst thing that could have happened for Leeds, for him to go away. But by the sounds of it's a precautionary thing where he's taken a bit of a knock and they're just going to send him home, which I'm sure Leeds will welcome with, you know, they're going to be quite happy that they're not risking him in another game. But it's happened a couple of times this season with Wood where he has taken little knocks in games, little knocks in training, and he has been fit. So I don't think it's one to worry about too much. You know, it's still quite early. I don't know if we'll know much more until he gets back to Leeds, but it's not as bad as I think it initially could have been. So yeah, it was worrying, but I think, you know, I'd probably expect him to be in the lineup on Saturday.
Fingers crossed he does. A huge game on Saturday for
it
Leeds.
It is.
Reading. That is tough.
It's going to be tough. It is.
The winner of that team goes on and challenges for automatic promotion. Maybe, obviously, Huddersfield still in the mix as well. But defeat for either side, you probably see that the outside chances they have of the top two are gone.
Yeah, I think, try not to be too pessimistic, I think both of these teams, I think automatic's just a bit too out of reach. The teams at the top, I know there's been a couple of slip-ups and the pressure's maybe getting to them, but you'd still expect them to win the majority of the games that are remaining for them. I think the winner of this can sit a bit more comfortably, because you never know with results. It's difficult because Fulham have got Rotherham, and Rotherham just don't win football games, as we know that they're probably going to get. I think they are going to be confirmed as relegated this weekend. So yeah, I think the winner can sit a bit more comfortably knowing that there will be that gap over there. You never know, Sheffield Wednesday, potential banana skin away at Barnsley. Local derby is always tough, especially when you're not the home team. So could be an opportunity, especially for Leeds, to be 10 points clear going into what, 7 games remaining. Very comfortable position to be in. I don't know how it's going to go. I trust Leeds, and I think Leeds are quite a comfortable team when they've not got the ball. I think they can rely on the defence a bit, and maybe that'll play into their hands a bit like it did when Reading came to Leeds. Because obviously we all know about Reading's style of play, and I said it is boring. It is boring, but it works, and I suppose that's the main thing.
Good job it's on the telly then.
Yeah, good job, yeah. It's going to be great. It's going to be highly entertaining for the neutral. But like I said, I think it might just work for Leeds. I think it might, as like I said, I think they're just comfortable not having the ball in possession.
A few potential banana skins at the weekend. Obviously, you mentioned Fulham, but also Newcastle. They go to Wigan, second bottom, of course. Brighton, they host Blackburn, but Blackburn now unbeaten for a number of games under Tony Mowbray, pretty much since he took charge, to be fair. 7 games they've been unbeaten, only won 2 of them, but they're very, very tough to beat under Mowbray now.
They are. They're really tough going to, obviously, to Wigan. I think a win, it's going to be tough. Of course, going to St James's Park, it's not going to be easy at all. But a win would, A, fill them with the confidence of, wow, we've just beaten a team that, you know, probably are going to win this league, and now we're only 4 points off safety. A loss, maybe if results go the other way as well, especially with, I know Burton have got Huddersfield.
That's a tricky one as well.
That's exactly. They're all tricky games where these are the times that obviously teams who are staying up are going to start pulling out results. And for Wigan, if Burton do get something against Huddersfield, they could be, what, 10 points away from safety. And you know, at this point, it's probably too big of a gap to close when you're at that end of the table. And like you said, yeah, Blackburn going really well. I know that it's been draws, but it's 1 point more than they would have had in recent weeks, probably 1 point more than they would have had under Coyle. So it's all positive, and you know, you'd fancy them to stay up now. If they can go to Brighton, who over the past couple of chances they've had at promotion have bottled it a bit, you never know if that kind of characteristic is still there. So it could be, I know it's a difficult place to go, but even another draw there will be positive for Blackburn.
Feelings then ahead of Leeds Reading on Saturday? Must not lose game?
I think I'd, looking from a Leeds angle, obviously, that a point would be good. You take a point all day long. It's a promotion, fellow promotion rival that if it stays as it is and Leeds do end up playing Reading in the playoffs, you take a point away because I'd probably trust Leeds to beat them at home. So, yeah, I think it...
That both sides are going to be in the playoffs at the end of the season, but maybe some kind of psychology to play
for. Especially with Leeds beating them at Elland Road. Whether it'll work in your favour or against you, I'm not too sure. Whether you'd prefer to have beaten the team twice over the season, or whether if Leeds do beat Reading and they play them in the playoffs, is what we've already beaten them twice, we should beat them again. But then that could work in Reading's favour as well. They've beaten us twice in the season, so this is our chance to get revenge. So, yeah, it could be an element of psychological kind of that side coming into it a bit. But obviously, I think the main thing is just the points, getting the points and securing that playoff place.
It's hotting up to be the next Norwich manager. Looks like Uwe Rosler is potentially going to be the man. Odds on favourite now with the bookies. But Huddersfield's David Wagner, a little bit earlier, he's drifted quite a lot now.
Yeah.
With that shortening of Uwe Rosler. But again, linked with another job.
He is, yeah. And it's not a surprise because he's been fantastic. Probably my Championship Manager of the Year. It's not a surprise, but Norwich, I don't see why he'd go. If it's looking like he won't, of course. Now he's drifted even further away now as Rosler's gone into favourite even more. It just wouldn't be a move that makes sense. Huddersfield seems to be a club that are going places. They've done another fantastic season ticket offer. They're going to have big crowds again next season. It's just that case of this is their first season of being very, very good in the Championship. Is it just a one-season thing or can they build on it? But, yeah, it wouldn't make sense for me to. And in fairness to Rosler as well, is it going to be a good move for him to go to Norwich? I mean, he's doing pretty well at Fleetwood. They've got a chance of going up to the Championship. And for Rosler, you're looking at the spells at Wigan, spells at Leeds. OK, fair enough, he wasn't given much time at Leeds, but they weren't the greatest. Maybe that tarnished his reputation a bit. Whether he'll want to go back into a Championship club where the expectation at the minimum is going to be promotion from next season onwards.
It's an interesting one with Rosler, isn't it? Because he's had a really good success, or whatever we want to see it, bad luck or whatever. But he's had a couple of failures and a couple of successes. But his successes, really, other than Brentford, it's been short term, and then he's moved on.
Yeah,
and then things have gone sour. So it just feels a little strange for him personally, jumping ship from a job where he's gone and he's done fantastic. They're in the promotion mix. He's just gonna leave and jump ship again.
Well, yeah, it's
having tasted the wrong side of jumping ship and the grass.
Yeah, exactly. But then apparently the reports that are coming out kind of tonight from one media outlet. Or yesterday, I think this was, that he'd be leaving regardless at the end of the season. But again, it's kind of a long-term project that's got going on there, that what if they do get promotion to Championship? They'll be massive underdogs. It might work in his favour that the expectation is just to stay up. So, yeah, I don't know. I just don't see why he'd move to a Norwich team, Norwich club, where the expectations are just going to be, I wouldn't say too high for him, but there's obviously going to be more pressure on him there than there is currently at Fleetwood.
Yeah, I think Norwich are a good club. I think they would give him time to.
I think they need after Alex Neil. Yeah,
that's stage now where they've not gone back up, so they need maybe a slight bit of rebuild. Where in the past they've been in the Premier League. When they've come down, they've tend to have gone straight back up. Now they've lost a couple of players. Robbie Brady, of course, went to Burnley in January. So they're starting to lose players that you would have banked on to get you back. Obviously, back up. It's not been the case under Alex Neil. So now maybe a couple more might leave in the summer. So it is a bit of a project now for Rosler.
Yeah, and then I look back at his time at Leeds and the players he brought to Leeds. The two really that stand out are Stuart Dallas and Chris Wood, with the two players that were signed whilst Rosler was manager in that summer. They show that I'm sure even as a manager, even as a setup at Leeds, that he would have had some input in that, that he can bring players who turn out to be big players. Okay, Chris Wood and Stuart Dallas struggled a bit now, but especially Wood, we just spoke about him, just how important he is to that Leeds team. So if he goes to a Norwich where they say you've got funds here to use, which I'm sure they will if they do want to achieve promotion, it could be a summer of change. But if it is a summer of change, you kind of need to have 2 years there to go, well, we do need one proper transition season where we may struggle, but we've got to understand that if he's bringing his own players in and he's shipping players out that he doesn't want, it's going to take time. And I think that's kind of what he wanted to do at Leeds, but wasn't given the time to do. So, yeah, if they are to bring him in, it's got to be a project. I don't think he's quite a short-term fix type of manager. He does need the time to do it. Okay, he's done outstandingly well at Fleetwood this season, but it's a different ball game in the Championship. You know, you're playing against your Newcastles who are going to go up, but this season you're playing against a Newcastle team and teams who come down who are going to be Premier League quality teams. You need to have a long-term project in there to be able to build a Premier League team yourself.
Paul Heckenbottom was linked with a job as well. I've been banging the drum, sorry Barnsley fans, for him to be linked for a couple of weeks now, but finally did. I would have thought, alongside Rosler, a very good candidate for this job, having has proved himself in the Championship now, proved himself getting a side promoted, but also... all right, there's probably more people in the mix at Barnsley, but also a very good eye for a player and developing younger players as well.
Yeah, I think Heckenbottom would make more sense to me if he left than if Rosler or Wagner left, because, again, we've used this phrase a lot, is a project at Barnsley, but they have sold those talented players. I think it's just obviously the model, the setup that they have there, that you look at Winall, Hurrahane, Mawson as well, quite recently. Okay, they do get big fees for them, but they're still leaving the club and they're still difficult players to replace. So it'd make more sense for me for him to leave to join a Norwich where he could then start a new project in it there with, you know, no disrespect to Barnsley, but on paper, better players, players who are going to get, you know, the job done. I don't know. I think he's one of those that have, without wanting to mention the Burnley thing, but Sean Dyche, he's one that kind of doesn't get linked a lot with jobs, and it's a bit like Heckenbottom, that he's just doing an outstanding job and he just doesn't seem to get the recognition that he does, because maybe it's been overshadowed by your David Wagner, your Yap Stams. You'd probably expect him not to leave but to be linked with a lot more jobs come the summer. And I don't know if Norwich would be the setup for him to move.
We're asking you on Facebook for your team's most important player for the rest of the season. A few people been in touch: Eddie Ratcliffe, Josh Cullen, Bradford City, Wendy Thomas as well. She's saying Norwich can't have Rosler up the cods, and goes for Luke Thomas as most important player. Do keep those coming in. Rotherham, no manager for next season unless Paul Warne does a dramatic U-turn. But Rotherham making moves to sign players ahead of, as you said before, their impending now relegation to League One.
I think they have to win every game. Hope Wigan lose every game. Burton lose every game. And they've probably got to win every game about 8-0, something stupid. So they are relegated this weekend. We'll probably just confirm that red banner with the R to the left of it that confirms the relegation. But yeah, it's quite positive to see that maybe Warne might stay around for a bit longer if they're making deals, signing players permanently. They signed players permanently they brought players in the January window. So whether they've sat down, whether Warne's decided he wants to take it, because it's going to be kind of a new chapter in League One. It's going to be rebuilding, but it's probably better for them to rebuild in League One and come back up, as so many teams have done, than to try and rebuild in the Championship. So yeah, it's an interesting one, but I think it maybe suggests that Warne's going to have some input in the first team in some way next season.
If you had to put £5 on it right now, are Rotherham coming straight back up? It's only a fiver.
Oh, well, right, okay then. Gamble responsibly and all that. But I probably say no, because I think it's going to take more than one season to rebuild and to properly... I think it goes back to maybe the amount of players who came in when Stubbs was in charge. There's a lot of players that came in. It's going to take a bit of time to sort out which players they want, which they don't, ship them on. So probably two seasons' time for me, I think. I think next season is going to be a proper rebuild year where they try and get stuff going.
Yes, you're listening to Radio Yorkshire, home of proper sports and proper rebuilds as well. Thanks for that, Tom. We'll be back in a few months' time on the FL72.
Movies are better with two, especially when watching weepy, tear-jerking Hollywood rom-com. It's always good to have a friend to lend a tissue.
Or a tie.
Sorry, Sergey. Movies are better with two, which is why only comparesamarket.com customers get 2-for-1 cinema tickets with Meerkat movies all year. Qualifying purchase required, Tuesdays or Wednesdays. Participating cinemas, standard tickets only, cheapest ticket free. One membership for 12 months, conditions apply.
Last year, 500,000 apprenticeships were started in England. I'm here with James Nevin from Blue Engineering to find out how apprenticeships have benefited their business.
As a young business in a competitive industry, it's not always easy to find the right talent. I first started looking into apprenticeships when the business pretty much started. Apprentices bring new ideas and their own creativity to the business, which we found gives us a real competitive edge. Once they're up and running, they really are a powerful force within a company.
To find out how apprenticeships can work for your business, phone 08000 150 600 for free advice or search Get In, Go Far.
Want to make your home your own? If you're a council or housing association tenant, the government's right to buy scheme could open the door for you. We've already helped over 50,000 tenants become homeowners, people just like you and your neighbours. So why not find out if Right to Buy can open the door for you? Call an advisor on 0300 123 0913 or go online to righttobuy.gov.uk.
From Wednesday to United, the FL72 on Radio Yorkshire.
Welcome back to the FL72. Sam and Tom with you through until 7 when it's proper boxing on the show with me tonight. We've got Steve Wood, the boxing manager. We've got the boxing trainer, Dave Caldwell, as well. And we've got friend of the show, Maxi Hughes, as well. Unlucky at the weekend. He joined us in the studio a couple of weeks ago ahead of a trilogy fight against Martin J. Ward. The fight happened at the weekend on the Anthony Crawler undercard for the British title and unanimous points decision for Martin J. Ward. So not to be for Maxi. We'll find out how he's getting on and how he's come out of that one after 7. Right now, though, we're talking about news from the rest of the Football League. And Tom, bad news for Morecambe. The third time this season, late payment of the wages to players and staff.
Pretty sure it was Morecambe who a few weeks ago did the volunteers pub stop tweet when they weren't getting paid. It's been a bit of a sad story at Morecambe this season. Of course, the financial problems there. Jim Bentley's fine being paid for by the fans. I think that was a really nice touch when all that came out. And yeah, it's just it's not nice to see when any club kind of gets involved in financial problems. But this is the third time this season that they've now been paid late, according, I think it was BBC Sport, I saw the story on. So yeah, it's different. I think the owner apparently said it was a delay in an international bank transfer that caused the late payments. But it's just not positive at all. You're looking around Morecambe at the moment, the team's not doing well, they're just in an atrocious bit of form. They're really struggling. So yeah, it's not nice to see at all.
Being helped out by a Qatari businessman for the wages, a bit of an ownership battle going on at the club at the moment, and those pesky bank transfers causing problems.
At it again.
We'll be getting sorted out. Championship side, Newcastle United targeting Gylfi Sigurdsson from Swansea.
Yes.
Being their main man in the Premier League next
they
season,
are.
So they're definitely going up.
Apparently so. I think in their it'd be a bit surprising if they don't at this stage, but yeah, they're already... I think they did this season, really, didn't they? The players they signed were Premier League quality players. They've probably now got a Premier League quality team. And yeah, they're looking to add to it. Gylfi Sigurdsson, of course, dead ball specialist, I think it's fair to say, for Swansea. they're targeting him when they go up next season. It just shows the planning ahead, that the confidence is kind of there as well, that they will achieve promotion. And if they don't achieve promotion and then add Gylfi Sigurdsson in the Championship, then they're going to be an absolute force, but they should be Premier League next season.
New Derby boss Gary Rowett, he's revealed that he will have the full support of Mel Morris in the summer transfer window. Obviously, yes. Sharing some values, maybe.
Obviously, the Derby way, this mysterious Derby way that no one quite understands. It's revealed that obviously he's going to kind of have the full support of the chairman in the summer transfer window, which is good in a way, because obviously Derby have spent a lot of money in recent years. They've had quite a few managers, so obviously all of them have had different ideas. And it's good to see that, you know, they are willing to back him, to allow him to bring his own players in to obviously rebuild and look for promotion.
More people getting in touch. Our most precious player is Billy Sharp, John Fleck, or Simon Moore. Thomas has actually got in touch. He doesn't play for Fleetwood.
I was trying to work out the Luke Thomas thing.
I googled it to see where does Luke Thomas play for. Does he play for? He really can't play for Fleetwood. But Ron Burgundy, got to read it out if it's there. So Luke, you got a bit of a shout out on the show tonight. Keep those coming in. Your most important player from now until the end of the season. And Wolves making another move potentially in the summer. You've started your transfer news early.
I can't help it. It's all coming out at the moment. I'm so excited.
That's what they do, the 72.co.uk. When's the summer transfer centre start?
I don't know. Well, currently we're still the January transfer centre. That needs updating. So maybe we might just keep that to January. But it's kind of this time, isn't it, where you usually get it around Easter, I think, is when it properly starts kicking towards the end of the season.
But Wolves looking to re-sign
Bakary Sacko from Crystal Palace, a part of that the Sacko, Dicko Afobe Sacko trio that created the most annoying but annoyingly catchy good football chant. And obviously they pretty much fired them up to just missing out of the playoffs under Kenny Jackett. Looking to bring him back. I think he's kind of fallen out of favour a bit at Palace. It would be fantastic for them, but apparently he's on near 55k a week at Selhurst Park, which I think is quite a big wage. I'm not sure about that, but it'd be difficult in terms of the wages.
Do you expect Wolves to go for it in the summer? They've had an up and down season. Obviously, the money has come into the club.
They're willing to spend it when they're in the January window, in the summer window. Of course, I think they went to Portugal, to Benfica especially, and got a lot of those players on loan. But the money is there. I'm sure they're not going to want to have the same season they've had this season, whether that be under Lambert or not, I'm not too sure. But they're going to want to try and challenge at the right end of the table. They've got new owners with money. I could probably see this one happening, actually. I think if he was to move to another club from Palace, Wolves have got the edge in a way that he's been there before. He knows the fans love him, the fans appreciate him there. And it could be one that could happen, so it's one to watch.
They've improved, Wolves, now. Three wins in a row. Had a torrid time back in February. They didn't win a game at all in February. Five defeats in a row, stemming into March, but unbeaten now in their last four. Three wins in a row. They beat Rotherham, they beat Brentford, they beat Fulham as well. A very good result, obviously, with the way Fulham have been going this season. A strange club. Do you think they'll sit comfortably in mid-table now and really pull away?
I think that run of three wins has definitely helped them. Maybe the confidence is back a bit. And it's not like they're a bad team. You've got players like Helder Costa, who are just outstanding, probably in my team of the season. I know I had a rant about how early teams of the season are, but I think they've got the players there. They've got the team there. They've got the group there to stay clear. I think it was just obviously difficult trying to pick up the pieces from that Walter Zenger era where they weren't winning games, and once you get into that habit, it's difficult to turn around. So, you know, hats off. The applause has to go for getting the three wins in a row. And I think it's probably pulled them to safety with the games remaining. Not saying that, you know, they're well clear, but you'd probably see them kicking on now into mid-table.
On their way to being certainly looking to pull away Wolves. Obviously, it's going to be an interesting one to see how your boy Mick McCarthy comes back. Not been in the greatest of form at all. It was, which drew, what was it, six games
yes,
in a row.
They had a bit of a Bradford.
Yeah, before defeat to Cardiff last time out. They faced Birmingham at the weekend, both level on 45 points. Those two, 17th Ipswich, 18th Birmingham in the table. So in terms of pulling away, similar to Wolves, also sit on 45 points. That's a huge game this weekend.
It is. I think it's a good chance as well to get a win. I know they've not been in the greatest form themselves, but Birmingham just... What can you say about Birmingham? Their last win was obviously the Wolves game away. But since the change in manager, it's just not paid off. I know Zola's come in. He even said that he applied for the Inter Milan job back in November. So, well, good luck getting that. But... yeah, I just don't know what's gone wrong there. And for Ipswich, they need to be looking at this as a must win, a game that, and if they do win, I don't want to say definitely, but they'd be quite unlucky to get relegated on 48 points, I think. So, so yeah, a win and they should be okay.
Yeah, tight at the bottom. Do you expect there to be any more sackings in the Championship? I was just thinking Birmingham with the owners and just the way they ruthlessly got rid of Gary Rowett. If they were to lose to Ipswich and say a Bristol City or a Forest won at the weekend and really started to get close to them and that relegation zone,
I think it
might panic.
I think it's one that even if they win against Ipswich and Birmingham get to 48 points, maybe in a game or two time they go, right, we want a managerial change. We could give a manager a couple of games to assess the current squad. Have the rest of the season, we're probably safe now. We shouldn't go down. Even with a new manager coming in, it should kind of kick us on a bit and turn around the results. I can't see teams like Burton, etc., changing their manager at this time of the season. I think it's just a bit too much of a risk. If you're well into it. But yeah, like I said, I think if maybe a Birmingham get a result, pretty much put themselves safe, I think that's probably the time to make the change and give whoever comes in a few games to look at the players he's got now and to assess the situation.
Do you think he will go, Zola? Do you think
he should go, really? I know I'm all for giving managers time, but it's pretty clear that this hasn't worked, that the fact they've, since the change in December was it, they've nosedived. Just absolutely just crashed down the league. I think it's clear that maybe this isn't, you know, it's not going to work. Like I said, a couple of games time, look for the change then. Give a new manager the chance to come in and go, okay, these are the players I want, these are the players I don't. I've seen them play a few games now. I know what I need to do in the summer to change. So, yeah, I think if they want to kick on and get back to where they were before, well, A, they probably need Gary Rowett back, and that's not going to happen. But B, I think they've got to make the managerial change. Mm.
If there was to be one anywhere else, do you think there would? The only one, and they've been patient with him all the way along, but would be if Sheffield Wednesday get beat at the weekend, there's got to be real pressure on Carlos Carvajal, especially if Fulham win and they're outside the playoffs and they've lost 5 of their last 7 games.
I think it'd be a bit of a shame for Carlos if he does go, especially after last season. But for me, if they don't make the playoffs this season, it's hard, not hard to see, but you'd understand why they'd make the change. And, you know, I think it's a bit of a shame. I do like Carlos. I think he's a good manager. He's done very well in his time at Wednesday. But you can see if they don't get promoted this season, he's going to want to be there. It's 2 seasons of coming close but not getting there. They will want that 3rd season to finally go up. I know it's easier said than done, but they've got the squad to do it. The strikers they've got are ridiculous. I've said this before, where pretty much their entire strike force would be starting strikers at other teams in this league. So, yeah, I think it's Wednesday or maybe Bristol City, whether the League One or Championship. I don't know whether they'd maybe look at, if they stayed up, getting someone in who will help them kick on a bit and move them up the division. But yeah, for me, I think Wednesday as well is one to watch with a bit of interest.
Yeah, it's an interesting one, Carver's Carla. I either think that Wednesday will get in the playoffs,
yes,
and probably go up because they've got that little bit more experience,
yeah,
and now.
Yeah.
But at the same time, looking at the current form, and obviously things can change quickly, but with the likes of Fulham in the mix and the other teams pulling away. You just kind of think it could be a struggle for them to actually get there.
I do like, you know, especially last season, Sheffield Wednesday was such an entertaining team to watch. I've got, you know, nothing against them in that aspect. But if Fulham were to go in, it would probably be an incredibly interesting playoffs set up, because you've got Huddersfield and Leeds. We don't really know anything about them as teams in terms of their playoff ability, because they've not been there in recent seasons. Reading, Fulham, again, we wouldn't know that much about them as this group of players, and it really adds more to that kind of lottery cliche that it could really be anyone's to take. So if Wednesday were to drop out and Fulham came in, I probably think it might be a better playoffs for the neutral to watch.
We did mention it before, but if Uwe Rosli goes to Norwich, mm-hmm. and then has the same impact that he did at Fleetwood and they start winning,
yeah,
they're already... They won their last game before the international break, beat Barnsley, of course. They're only 5 points off it if they can win at the weekend. Like we said, if Sheffield Wednesday do lose to Barnsley, could Rosler be jumping ship and getting Norwich promoted? They've got a squeak.
I think that's probably one of the only reasons I think he'd go at this point, because there's still 8 games, there's still a lot of football to be played, and they're within touching distance of it. But I'm not... Yeah, I don't mind Rosler. I think he was quite harsh to be sacked at Leeds with the time that he had. But I don't know if he's that type of manager. Is he your Mowbray, Warnock type person who you can go, we need to win our next three. We need results in our next three. Go in and get the wins.
Yeah, Fleetwood.
I don't know.
And in Cameron Jerome, they've got a man who scores goals. He's outscored the top scorers of Fulham, Sheffield Wednesday and Reading and Huddersfield as well.
Yeah. I think if Norwich, we talk about Norwich as a relegation side and they're sat in 21st or 20th, I'd go, you know what, yeah, go for it. But there's going to be a lot of pressure that he's going to come in, and the expectation is we've made a managerial change. He's
is
done
the pressure
something
from now until the end of the season?
I think
come in, have a go.
The expectation's going to be there that they've made the managerial change at this time. So if they make it, for example, tomorrow, we're going to be going, well, there's going to be the element of them wanting to get promotion then, because they've made the change now. They've not waited a few weeks. They've wanted it now. They're going to try and give them enough time, and there'll probably be the disappointment there if they don't make it. So I don't know. I think if anyone's going to break in, it's going to be Fulham out of any team that's not currently in the top six.
Yeah, I reckon Norwich are going to finish sixth or seventh. Got a sneaky feeling they're going to start to put a big run together. But anyway, let's move on, because we actually got a bit of time to do Good Days, Bad Days.
Wow.
Tom, your original
feature.
I'll
be able to breathe this week.
Indeed, yeah, you can relax and kick back. We've got a League One, League Two, an international flavoured Good Days, Bad Days next on the FL 72.
In life, there are clever choices and not so clever choices. Choosing to take the shortcut through a farmer's field before realizing there's a horny bull headed your way is a not so clever choice. Choosing to heat your off-grid home with Keller's auto top-up technology, which orders the gas for you, is a clever choice. See how easy it is to switch at Keller.co.uk.
Relax and embark on a journey from BT to Post Office Home Phone. Free yourself from BT's prices and picture paying just $14.99 a month. Experience calm and keep your number. Breathe in affordable line rental. Breathe out your old provider. Search Post Office Home Phone or visit your local branch for better value line rental. Post Office Home Phone. Sorted. Offer ends 3rd of the 4th, 2017. $14.99 a month for 12 months and $16.99 a month thereafter. No minimum term contract. Full terms at postoffice.co.uk/homephone.
The FL 72 on Radio Yorkshire with Sam and Tom.
Tell you what, he's so confident, he's got all this time tonight, that he just went out of the studio.
Just trolled, didn't I? Just had a walk around, and yeah, I'm not going to have to bomb through it this week. I can, even now I'm speaking ridiculously too slowly, I don't know why. So yeah, it's nice, it's nice.
Tell you what, great pictures on the TV, Sean Harvey talking about the Checkatrade Trophy.
Checkatrade, tell you what, Checkatrade Trophy, head to 72's Twitter, at FBL72, could win tickets.
Ooh.
We've got 3 pairs of tickets to give away for it. So fancy entering it, check it out on Twitter.
There we go. A bit of a plug from Tom. Tom, it's good days, bad days time, where you give us who's had a good week, who's had a bad week. No championship this week, so you've stuck in some internationals.
I have.
As well. Off you go.
Right, we'll start off with League One. Of course, good day for Peterborough United. They ended that run of five games without a win after their 1-0 victory away to Gillingham. We've spoke about them already, actually. It was a bad day for Millwall. Now 3 points off the playoffs after that. Bit of a surprise 1-0 loss against Swindon. Now, I did put Notts County down for this, but I'm going to change it in League Two. It was a good day for Exeter. They were...
Hold on. They were changed.
I've changed it. I'm revolutionising it. They were 3-0 down against Yeovil in the 87th minute, and they drew 3-3 in a ridiculous comeback. So I think that's got to be the League Two good day for this week. Just fantastic comeback for them. Bad day still for Morecambe. Obviously, financial trouble, not going well on the pitch. Six losses in a row after they were beaten by Steve Evans's Mansfield. And an international, don't know, just picked a random one. Bulgaria. Because I presume Holland are always good at football. They right. sat their manager because of it, so it must be bad. They put themselves a point off second in their group with victory over the Netherlands, who, like I said, sat the manager as a result of it. And it was a bad day for Slovenia just because they lost to Scotland. So... Should have really been an easy win for him, but they didn't.
Indeed. Always a bad day if you lose to Scotland. Thanks for that, Tom. Republic of Ireland, they're in action in an international friendly against Iceland tonight. Robbie Brady captains the side for the first time. The team is Westwood, Christy, Pearce, Egan, Brady, McGeady, Hendrick, Hurahin, Hayes, McLean and Doyle will be back on the FL 72 in a few moments' time when we'll talk about tonight's games.
In life, there are clever choices and not so clever choices. Choosing to take the shortcut through a farmer's field before realizing there's a horny bull headed your way is a not so clever choice. Choosing to heat your off-grid home with Keller's auto top-up technology, which orders the gas for you, is a clever choice. See how easy it is to switch at keller.co.uk.
Hey. Look out the window. Chances are every person out there is after something you've got. That man in a hurry is looking for a bike, like your spare one. That girl wants a blender, like the one you've never used. And that guy, oof, he'd probably love your old phone. Find these people on Gumtree. Sell your stuff for free today. Opportunity starts on Gumtree.
Live off-grid. Make the clever choice. Switch your home central heating to Caligas and get a free above-ground tank installation. Visit our website for details. Terms and conditions apply.
There's a person who can spot threats in the sky before they become threats. They can reassemble a pistol in 15 seconds and maintain equipment so advanced most don't even know it exists. That person's you. There are more than 50 roles to choose from in the RAF. You'll receive world-class training to develop new and existing skills. And you can do it full-time as a regular or in your spare time as a reservist. Find your role in the RAF. Search RAF Recruitment now.
What does £29 a month get you these days? With Virgin Media, it gets you... More bang for your bundle. Up to 50 meg super fast broadband with unlimited downloads. And our clever TiVo box for free view and catch up TV. Just £29 a month for 12 months, including line rental. Activation fee £14.99. Search Virgin Media Bundles. Cable streets only. New customers on player TV bundle. Installation fee may apply. Standard pricing after 12 months. Subject to credit check and further terms and conditions.
Electric Bowl Halifax offers so much more than 10-pin bowling. With American pool, snooker, F1 simulators, new golf and sports simulators, great food and friendly service. Enjoy a fun-filled day out for all the family at Electric Bowl Commercial Street Halifax. Entertainment guaranteed. Details on booking, gift vouchers and parties at electricbowl.net.
Football chat and much more. The FL 72. On Radio Yorkshire.
Welcome back to the FL 72, the time of the show where normally we're trying to fit in Tom's feature.
Yes.
If you're tuning in for that, you've already missed it.
Yeah.
We're on time for a change.
It's weird, isn't it?
Yeah, very weird. Proper boxing comes next after 7 o'clock, an hour of boxing chat. I'm joined tonight by Steve Wood, the boxing manager of Terry Flanagan. He's got words to say about Anthony Crawler. Those two have been linked for a long time, a battle of Manchester at lightweight. But Steve, I've been plenty to say on that. And also a couple of other of his fighters, Isaac Lowe and Maxi Hughes have both been on the show in the last few weeks. Maxi's back on again tonight after his British title defeat at the weekend to Martin J. Ward. We also have a bit of in-depth chat with the boxing trainer Dave Colwell as well, following on from Tony Bowyer's win over David Hay, but also talking about the likes of Gennady Golovkin, Anthony Crawler and Kell Brook, Errol Spence, that huge fight at Bramall Lane in May. Tom, we are in the final throes of the show. We've mentioned quite a few of the teams in action tonight. Sheffield United, an important game for them, given everything we said about Bolton coming on strong. They play Millwall.
They do, yeah. It's potential, like we said before, really, it could be a bit of a slip-up for them. You'd expect them, really, to get the result with the position they're in, but Millwall, of course, looking to try and get into the playoffs themselves, should actually make quite a good game. It's difficult to say which way this one's going to go. You want to say Sheffield United should get it, but like I said, Millwall have got something to play for themselves. If it was a mid-table team, it should be a walkover for the Blades, but it's going to be a difficult night for them.
Your prediction?
I'll say Sheffield United will edge it, and I'll say they'll get a 2-1 win.
Rochdale looking to get themselves back into the League One playoff spots. We're up there, had a terrible run. Now coming back, they play AFC Wimbledon. Thoughts on this one and prediction?
Again, it's one of those where Rochdale have got something to play for, where AFC Wimbledon don't really. So, you know, you'd expect Rochdale to be the team that are actually going to go for it and try and get something for here. You'd expect them to try and get the win. We spoke about how tight it is at the top. They need to be trying to win games like this if they are to close the gap. So, yeah, you'd be expecting a Rochdale win.
Currently 6 points off those League One playoff spots. Also in action, Oxford host Bury in, well, a bit of nothing. Not bothered.
Throw a dice.
Prediction?
Don't know. Throw a dice. We should just have, for games like this at this point in the season, we should go, look, everyone call it off. We'll get two dice. Oxford are one. Bury are the other. Oh, look, 6-4 Oxford. There
got,
we go.
Got a new feature. Throw a dice. We get a dice that looks like Sean Dyche, and we just predict some games every week. Does it sink in? You'll like it. Finally, Accrington face Cambridge again. A bit of a mid-table.
Yeah, why not? 7-2 to Cambridge.
Oh, come on! You got to go for Accrington, Stanley.
All right, 7-2 to Accrington.
There we go, an enthusiastic end to the show from
football.
Tom, the football's back this weekend. Championship's back from the international break. Northern Ireland also in action against Iceland. That's all we got time for, though, on the FL 72. Prop-